Wow. Welcome back to another episode, guys. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to be back again with you guys. I am very elated in my spirit, honestly, on this episode. So let's give context. I know I'm diving right in, but we move. So I filmed this episode before and I was going to go into just editing and, you know, doing the necessary things for the episode to come out. And I've just finished work. It's 5 something. And as I was rounding up at work, I was thinking, no, there's no way that episode I filmed, I'm going to put out like that. It's not possible, because when I filmed it before or recorded, I was extremely tired. So I just did it as per, let's do it. But there's no way I went to put my all into my office work. And when it comes to the things of God, I would not produce it with excellence. God forbid. Like, that is honestly an error. So I said, whatever it takes, I am going to record this episode again. With passion, with zeal, because that is what not only you people deserve, but that is what God deserves, and that is what I am asked to do. So if you are coming or you are getting a bit of maskless to be expecting it, because this episode, I'm convicted. This episode is going to be amazing. Let me not hype it too much, but let's get into it. We are going to be talking about prayer today. And even just speaking on excellence, that has to be another episode in itself, because yes, it's really, really needed. It's something we need to talk about. But as the Spirit leads, we will flow. If we get there, we will talk about it. Yeah, we're talking about prayer today. What is prayer? How do you pray? What should prayer look like? What is this thing that everybody talks about? What is this thing that everybody does? What is prayer? How should we pray? What is the expectation that we should have in prayer? These are questions that people think about. Okay, I've not prayed. This is how excited I am. Okay, let me pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit in me. We thank you for your Spirit in us. We thank you that this passion is not by my doing, but by you, because there is a word that you want to pass across today and through this episode. We pray, O Lord, that everything that you have planned, you have ordained, you have scheduled to occur, to happen, to come into fruition as an obedience to this episode. Father, we pray that it would come to pass in the name of Jesus. We pray that hearts would be open. We pray that ears would be open. We pray that your children would come and receive. We pray that even as I speak, I will receive a word personally for myself. We pray, O Lord, that you would change hearts, you would change minds. We pray that nations will come to hear of this word. We pray for just an understanding of this word. We pray for a revival on our prayer altars. We pray for fire. We pray for more grace. We pray for more understanding. We just thank you for your presence. We pray that you would speak through my lips as of clay. We pray that it will be less of me and more of you, that everything you want to say, everything, every single thing you want to pass across will be passed across. Even as you have, you know, thought of this episode and already prepared this episode in mind, moments, years, decades before this, we pray that every single thing that this word is meant to bring, we pray that it will bring to life, and people would not remain the same after this word. I just thank you for your Spirit in us. I thank you for the grace to be excellent at the things that you have called us to do for you. I pray for the grace to not be distracted. If you are on your iPad, please jazz up. I pray for the grace to not be distracted. I pray for just a renewed understanding. I pray that your spirit will pour over us, that hearts would be convicted. I just thank you for what you're going to do. Honestly, I'm so hyped. I just thank you, Lord. Be the exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I'm honestly just really, really hyped about this word. This topic of prayer came up in about December when I was preparing for this. And I guess if you stick around to the end, you will see what God has planned and what is going to happen from this episode. But yeah, I'm just going to dive into things so we do not overshalaye or talk too much. But yeah, what is prayer? Like, what does prayer look like? Prayer is communication. Prayer is you speaking to God. Prayer looks like expression through verbal communication. Prayer is something that we know and the Bible tells us is important. It's something that we should do. So why do Christians have an issue with praying? Praying consistently, praying with audacity, praying knowing that you are carrying authority, praying in boldness. Why do we have issues with this? Why do we come to God like we are beggars? Why do we come to God like we are not his children? Why do we come to God like we are lacking an understanding of the weapon that he has given to us to war and to battle and to fight? Why is there a lack of understanding of this weapon that we have been granted, though we like to casually use it here and there? But yeah, prayer. What are the components of communication? If we say prayer is communication, what does communication require? When we are going to God, when we are going to speak to God, communication requires you encoding a word or encoding your feelings, your thoughts, your needs, your ideas into words so it can be effectively transmitted through a medium to God. After you encode, so encoding can also look like praying in the spirit, that is you encoding your words through the words of the spirit and it is being transmitted to God. When we think of prayer, a lot of us omit the fact that to pray you require an altar. Yes, an altar is not just a demonic thing. Every spiritual thing requires an altar. An altar is a medium of transmission. So as you pray, yes, you are lying down on your bed to pray, but you are transmitting your words that are encoded through an altar, through a medium for interpretation on the other side. Communication, when Googled, will tell you that you require a transmission through a medium. So why do we, as Christians, fail to understand that part of communication when it comes to prayer? Why do we not think we need a prayer altar? Why do you not think that your prayer altar must be burning with fire? Why do you not think that your medium of transmission must be effective, have quality, be alive? First of all, be alive. Why do you think that that medium of transmission should not be kept appropriately? Some people's prayer altars are dwindling out. Your flames of fire are dying out. You are not praying enough. You are not being consistent in prayer. You are not keeping your altar ready and available for use at any time. Some people's altars have cobwebs. Your medium of transport of transmission is ineffective for the type of prayers that you need to pray. If you need to pray warfare prayers, if you need to pray pungent, deep prayers, you cannot go and pray those type of prayers on a silly altar, on an altar that is carrying cobwebs, on an altar that is not active, on an altar that is not being serviced. Every altar has to be serviced. And serviced by a priest. You are a priest. You service your altar. You keep your altar. You take care of your altar. You make sure the fire on your altar is still burning. Why do we forget this part of prayer? Why do you forget that prayer requires a serviced, effective altar? A medium of transmission. When people are speaking incantations, they go and speak incantations at demonic altars. They know the need and the necessity of an active altar. And as Christians, we don't know. We're sleeping. I was also convicted, so it's not just me coming to meet you guys without checking myself. I was convicted. Your prayer altar is dwindling. What is going on? Your prayer altar is nowhere to be found. This was not even my point, but it seems like we're going there. Your prayer altar is not being serviced. You are a priest and you don't have an altar? No. 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 No, 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 no. It's not good enough. Prayer is not just something that we do casually. There's a process to prayer. There are things that need to be there for your prayer to be effective. You are praying about the same thing. I'm not saying that God will not keep you in a season where you're waiting and you keep praying over the same thing. That is a different case too. You are praying over the same thing and nothing has budged because you don't have a prayer altar. Those are two different things. You pray. First of all, you pray amiss. Second of all, you pray without an effective, serviced, fire-filled, fire-burning altar. And you expect things to shift. Shift to where and how and why? Why should the enemy move from his position when you have not sacrificed more than what he has sacrificed? Why? People are killing, stealing, and doing everything to service demonic altars, and Christians are sleeping. We are not sacrificing our time. We are not sacrificing ourselves. We are not sacrificing our flesh. We are not sacrificing our desires. We are not sacrificing our comforts. And we are expecting that everything is going to be okay. It is not going to be okay. There's a sacrifice required of you. Listen to me and listen to me well. Whoever is listening, there is a sacrifice required of you. I will say it again. There is a sacrifice required of you. You might not be able to sleep 8 hours. God, as me and God, we have been dragging hands with that one. You might not be able to sleep 8 hours. You might not be able to sleep 7 hours, 6 hours. Because there's a sacrifice required. Who is calling your name? God is calling your name. God is calling your name. Why? This is a battle. This is not just vibes and do whatever you like. This is not just vibes and do whatever you like. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. It is a weapon handed to us on a platter of gold that we are not utilizing. It is a weapon. You cannot be a Christian with such audacity, backed by God, and you're praying for the same thing for 10 years. No. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to be angry? When are you going to take things for God in prayer? When are you going to birth things in prayer? Before things come to life spiritually, physically, they must be birthed spiritually through prayer. Prayer allows you to birth things. I'm already even skipping points, but yes, prayer allows you to birth things. You want to take territory and you have not prayed? Let's not joke around here. Let's just not joke around here. Do you know what it is to take territory? Do you know what it is to take territory for God? Do you know what it is to conquer a place, colonize a place, infiltrate a place for God? Let's not joke around here. Let's be serious. Come on, let's be serious. Your prayer altar is dead. And we're kikikiing on Instagram. No. Let me move on because we might even sleep here. For communication to be effective, it needs to be decoded by somebody else. So when you know you're praying, you know you're praying to God. You're not just praying to pray into the air. But you're praying knowing that you are speaking to somebody on the other side. Pray with an understanding that God hears you. Some people pray, they don't believe their prayer. You pray, you don't believe God is listening to you. So why are you praying? Communication, when you communicate to somebody, you have an understanding that there's somebody else on the other side receiving this information. So why do you pray like you're not talking to God? You just pray just to talk. Do you believe that God is hearing you? Do you believe that God is listening to you? Do you believe that God knows you? Or are you just praying based on obligation, legality? That's what they said we should do. Let me just do. Are you praying with an understanding that somebody is listening? Somebody is taking notes. Somebody hears you. And something will be done about it. Do you pray like that? We don't. And when you pray as well, another component of communication is that you will get feedback. So when you pray, prayer is a medium of communication or a form of communication with God. When you pray, you will get feedback. All these ones, you have bad character, you are disorderly, you are badly behaved, but you've been praying for 15 years. Who were you praying to? Who were you praying to? Because you are rude, you are unforgiving, you have anger issues. If you were praying and getting to the point where, oh, I'm communicating with somebody knowing that, yes, they can hear me, but also they will give me feedback, some of these character traits would have been pruned. God will give you feedback. He will give you feedback on your behavior, on your heart, on your character. God will give you feedback. Feedback can either come as confirmation on something that, oh, okay, you have been praying for this, this, and this. You receive feedback with a scripture. Feedback can come back as correction. Yes. Feedback can come back as you, let's say you're praying and you fall under the Spirit. That is feedback. You received something. Do you pray knowing that you are going to collect feedback at the end? Or do you just pray, okay, God, I've told you, you have received. okay, I'm going. Where are you going to? You communicate knowing that I am speaking, I am communicating verbally with words through a medium which is going to be decoded, looked at, and then feedback is going to be given. That should be your understanding of prayer. For you to be effective at communicating with God, you don't just stop there. After you have collected feedback, what do you do with the feedback? Do you understand the feedback? Do you analyze the feedback? Do you thank God for the feedback? Do you then appropriately respond to the feedback? Or do you just hear the feedback and you stop there? That too, we need to do better with. If God has told you you have unforgiveness issues, have you taken that feedback and then done things to change that? Have you obeyed? Have you appropriately responded to the feedback? Prayer is more than just you are talking. I'm telling God my feelings. There's more to it. There's more to it. There is more to it. There is more in general. There is more. Before we even get to pray without ceasing, do you understand what prayer is and how it should look like? Do you understand the components that make up communication? You need to know that. You need to understand that. Jesus prayed. So why is it think you don't need prayer? Who are you to think you don't need prayer? When Jesus went to pray on the mountainside, he came back down. This is in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. He came back down. When he came in the morning, he called his disciples to himself and he chose the 12 that were going to follow him. He went up to the mountain. He went to pray. He came back down with feedback on who his disciples were and then called them. That's just a simple example right there. Prayer is not something that you just do lackadaisically, or what's the word? Yeah. It's not something you just do, oh, okay, pray. Oh, let's pray. How do you approach prayer? How should prayer be approached? How do you approach? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to, I believe verses 5 to 15, it gives you the template for prayer. How should you pray? The teachings for prayer. But before we get there, how should you approach prayer as a Christian? Not even as a Christian, anybody, if you're a new believer that is coming into God and okay, you don't know what this prayer thing is, how do you approach praying? First of all, you approach prayer, communication with God, interaction with God with a clean hand and pure heart. You cannot say you are praying and you have malice, unforgiveness, disdain, anger, jealousy, all of those things in your heart. You can't have it. It's different if you have repented, right? And then you then come into prayer. But for you to start off in prayer, kabashing, you know you're angry at your neighbor, you shouted at your brother, insulted your mother, stabbed somebody on the road, cursed on the internet, and then you are just coming to start kabashing. Where? Did you repent before you started praying? And let's say there are things in your heart that you don't know is there, okay, then that is for God to correct. But if you know these things are there and you just want to start praying, where are you praying to? A pure heart is required. God is too holy for you to be interacting with him with your blouse stained with stew. He's too holy. Approach with proper consciousness. He's too holy. There's something about, is it love your wives or like, don't be annoyed with your wives or sure, don't be in a fight with your wife. Let me find the proper thing because your prayer will be hindered. Because there is a relation between you being out of love with your fellow brethren and then coming to miss God. How can you not love your fellow brethren? But you want to come to miss God and be telling him that you love him, you care for him, you are ride or die. You are a ride or die. You fight together. Come on. A pure heart. You must come with a pure heart. I said it before, you must come not being lackadaisical. You can't just come just casually. This was something I heard yesterday when I was at a thing with my church. And the pastor that was preaching, he said, you approach God so casually in prayer. And honestly, I was convicted. So casually. There's a difference between knowing, yes, God is your father, God is your friend, God is all of those things to you, and you just being so casual, you just being so lazy, you just being so nonchalant in your approach to prayer and your approach to God. So just lacking excellence. And excellence does not mean, oh, you're so skilled at this, or you are so amazing at this, or you're so this or that. Excellence speaks to quality. You pray with quality. You speak to God with quality. You're not so nonchalant with your approach to prayer. They'll say, let us pray. You are giggling. You are doing something. You are doing something there. And I even learned this thing from my brother. Shout out to my brother. But when they say, let us pray, he drops everything he's doing. Because let us pray. You're communicating with a king. You can't just be doing things. So, oh, God have mercy. You can't just be doing things so, is the word flippant or whatever the English is. Just so randomly, so casually. And you're saying you're speaking to a king? If you wanted to speak to the king that sits on a mere throne somewhere in England, somewhere in our backyard, there's a way you approach him. You won't approach him casually. You won't approach with oil on your shirt, with your face stained, with your hair undone. There's a way you would approach him. It's the same way when you're approaching God Almighty. You don't approach so casually. Don't approach like it's a punishment. Like, they are forcing you. Let's just come and pray. No. And on the flip side, when you approach God, you approach God with confidence, with authority. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. You approach God knowing your status, knowing your name, knowing what he has called you to be. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. You are chosen. You are called. Whoever your name is, David, Martha, Mary, you are called. Approach God with confidence. You are his child. You're his child. Don't come like you're just begging. Oh, God, please. Like, why am I even? Come like you know that you're approaching your father. If you're approaching your father. If I'm approaching my daddy. Shout out to you, daddy. If I'm approaching my daddy. I know how I'm approaching my daddy. I'm not approaching my daddy second guessing that I'm his kid. I'm your kid, bro. Like, I'm approaching my daddy with confidence, with authority because I know whose child I am. I know whose child I am. Like, I don't come to my daddy second guessing. You don't even approach your earthly father begging. So how do you approach God? Just lacking of self-esteem. Lacking of an identity of who you are. Approach God with confidence. The Bible verse says, approaching his throne of grace with confidence. Approach God with confidence. In Hebrew chapter 4 verse 16, it says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness. Another version says, with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Approach God with confidence. Don't approach second guessing. And if you don't have an earthly father, that's why you have a heavenly father. But I'll move on. And when you also do things, approach prayer, don't approach prayer or go into prayer just solely thinking about yourself all the time. Yes, there are times where you just pray for yourself and all of that good stuff. But it's not every day for your 23, 25, 28, 32, 47 years of existence. You only pray for yourself. You don't approach prayer thinking, oh, how can I intercede for my brother? How can I pray for my sister? How can I pray for this person in church? How can I pray for my coworker? How can I pray for my friend? How can I pray for my boss? How can I care and tend for others? You just come, only you. Like, stop it. I actually cracked myself up. But honestly, you just come not thinking about any other person, only yourself. It's not right. So yeah, going back to what I was saying about the Lord's Prayer, there's a template on how to pray. For people that this might just be something you're new to, you're just coming into Christ. Sorry if this is hitting you a bit hard. But yeah, the Lord's Prayer is a very easy, straightforward template on how to pray for anybody. A believer that is just new, a believer that is mature, a believer that is 100 years in. The Lord's Prayer. It says, and I think this is the NLT version. But yeah, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And let us not yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. That is the Lord's Prayer. Some people know it as, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Okay, let me not be boastful. Oh, but yeah, some people know it as that. But yeah, it's a very good template on how to pray. For somebody that's like, I don't know how to pray, I don't know where to start from, this is the best place to start from. And it's broken down very amazingly. So it starts off with acknowledgement of God. When you pray, you acknowledge God. Before you walk into place, or before a king enters a place, they'll say something like, maybe all hail the king, something, something, something. They will say all his titles, King Kiniko, Kiniko is coming. Same way, when you approach God, you approach God acknowledging him as God. You hail God. Ah, yes, so. You hail God. Call him all the beautiful names that you know. You acknowledge God as God. You acknowledge God as a king. You acknowledge God as God. When you speak to earthly kings, you have to call them their title sometimes. You speak to God and acknowledge him as God. Call him his titles. So you start off there. Right? When you approach somebody like that, if somebody should come and meet me and they want to talk to me and they're like, ah, somebody I'm interested in. But anyways, somebody wants to come and meet me and they're like, this fine girl something something something, or which titles do people even use nowadays? I'm not even sure anymore. But if they come to me with approaching me, calling me beautiful names, it touches a different part of my heart. It's the same way with God. You come to God calling him his beautiful names. It's not as a way to manipulate, because if you can manipulate, if God knows if you're manipulating him, let's be serious. It's not a way to manipulate, it's a way of acknowledging. You acknowledge God for who he is. And then it says, may your name be kept holy. Going back to the previous point about you coming with a pure heart. God is holy, you must approach God with in order. So yeah, then it goes on to talking about the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come soon. May your kingdom come soon. There's a segment of your prayer that should be addressing the kingdom of God. It might not be, oh, God come now, God come now, God come now. But have you ever stopped in your tracks to ask, God, what is on your heart for your kingdom? What is on your heart for kingdom advancement? What is on your heart in regards to the kingdom of God? What is on your heart in regards to the kingdom of God coming soon? How should we prepare? What should we do? Are these prayers you ask? Are these questions you ask? What is on your heart regarding your kingdom? Me too, sometimes I don't ask that prayer. So that's what I'm saying. As I'm teaching, I'm learning. What is on your heart concerning your kingdom? These are questions you should ask in prayer. That's what I'm saying. So if you only even use this template and you are a beginner in prayer, you are even doing so amazing. You're doing really, really well. And then he goes on to say, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does God want to do on earth? What is God's kingdom agenda plan? What is God's kingdom advancement plan? What is his territory taking plan? What is his strategy in this season for his kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven? What is that? We need to know that. If you don't know that, please be asking that from now on. How can you participate in advancing and taking care of your father's home? How can you do that? You need to know what he wants for you to be able to participate. If you say you don't know what God is doing in this end time, then you need to be asking some other questions. You need to be asking questions. And then he goes on to say, give us today the food we need. This give us today. Give us today. Even stopping there even speaks to you commanding your day. But if we take it in fullness, give us today the food we need. It shows that in each day there is a food criterion or criteria that you need. There is something, there is a food in each day that you must pick up, that you must eat, that you must consume. What is the nutrient of the day that God has planned for you? In the day, whatever you're listening to this, what is the nutrient for that day? What is the food for that day that you need? We don't know this. A lot of us do not know this. What is the food for that day that you need? Do you need encouragement? Do you need correction? Do you need pruning? Do you need to be taught obedience? What is the food for that day that you need? I really love the way this passage says it. Give us today the food we need. Lord, give Soremi Dayo
today the food that I need. What is the food I need for today? What is the food I need for this month? What is the food I need for this year? As I wake up every single day, what food did you have in store for me to eat today? As you woke up and you knew, Oma, I'm craving pasta. I'm craving ayamashe. I'm craving burger. I'm craving, what are you craving that you are meant to be eating today? What is your spiritual craving for the day? Has it been met? Do you know it? And it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Sorry, the English is not English anymore. But yes, forgive us our sins. Then you go into, God, please forgive me. Ask, have mercy on me. You ask for mercy. You do all of that. And then you forgive those who have then done things against you. Have you forgiven your mom? Have you forgiven your dad? Have you forgiven that auntie? Have you forgiven that teacher? Have you forgiven that friend? You do all of those things in prayer. So that's why sometimes when you're praying for an hour, you know that you have never scratched the surface because there's so much more to be done. There's so many things you have not covered yet. And sometimes you can pray for 30 minutes and you have covered everything. But did you go in depth? But anyways. Yes. So when you're cooking up a 2 minute prayer, just know it's good that you prayed. Yes. But there's more. There is more. Say it with me. There is more. 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 God is calling you higher. God is calling me higher. God is calling us higher. There is more. The more mature, the more developed the kingdom soldiers are, the more developed the children of God are, the more we can take territory. There is more for you. There is more for me. There is more. There is more for you to do. This is somebody's word. There is more. There is more. You are not doing enough. There is more. To take territory, there is more. You are as strong as your weakest link. You are strong as your weakest link. There is more. If you're in a community and you can see somebody struggling, build them up. Help them. Don't just see them struggling and leave them. That's for them to do it on their own personal life and take up with God. No. We build up each other. We're a kingdom. Kingdoms that take territory, they have strong soldiers. They have strong soldiers. They have strong soldiers. Their soldiers are built up. Their soldiers are mature. These are mature men and women. Come on. There is more. Going back to my point. You ask for mercy. You ask God to forgive you. You forgive others. And then he goes on to say, and do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is also broken down into two parts. This verse 13. In prayer, you have to cover a component of protection and guarding. Whenever you pray, this is something you must address. You must address the component of protection and guarding. And this is seen in two parts, or this is seen in two ways. Protection from yielding into temptation or committing sin. This can look like, God, protect my ear gates, protect my eye gates, protect my heart, protect my hand gates. Protection in that form, it can look like that, because you're saying, do not let us yield to temptation. How do you make sure you don't yield to temptation? By ensuring you protect and guard your gates. You don't leave them open for anything to come in. And then it then looks like protection against the enemy, protection from the evil one. ensuring that you pray that God guides your steps. Protect my steps. Protect my home. Surround my home. Shield my home. Protect my family. People that have children, protect my children. Don't let them be praise for the enemy. So protection, praying for protection, comes in two parts. And then it goes on to say many other things. But yes, this is the Lord's Prayer broken down in a way that you understand that if you won't follow this template by itself, you have covered territory, you have covered grounds, you've done things, okay? So I just pray that God helps us. I pray that God teaches us. I pray that God guides us. I pray he helps us to see. He helps us to understand. He teaches us how to do things. The Bible is your best template. The Bible is the best place to find all the teachings of God, to know all the teachings of God. Read your word. Read your word. And I pray that God honestly guides us, each and every one of us. We're all growing. We're all learning. And I just pray for the grace to submit ourselves to the teachings of God, to the ways of God. And we align ourselves to the agenda of God. But yeah, let's keep going. I'm 15 minutes in. Glory to God. Okay. So why pray? I've told you all these things and I've said, do this, do that. You should do this. There are the benefits to doing this. Why should we do it? Why do I need to pray? Okay, you're telling me pray. I get it. But why? Why do I need to pray? Why is this a useful thing to me? I understand it's a weapon, but why and how? Prayer is your advantage as a Christian. In Genesis chapter 20, verses 17, it was when Abraham went to pray to God. We even backtrack. This was after he lied that Sarah was his sister. But then he repented. He went to pray to God. And because God caused Abimelech to be ill. And then he went to pray to God, and God healed Abimelech. Prayer is your advantage. Prayer is your advantage, simply put. Prayer saves you. Prayer helps you. It is your advantage in situations. It is something that not everybody has, but everybody should have. Prayer is your advantage. Prayer is a weapon of warfare. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, it says, we are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. Hello? Hi. We do not wage war as humans do. We are humans. Sermidayo. I have a body, yes, but I also have a spirit and a soul. We are humans, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey God. Prayer is your weapon. That is the NLT version. The NKJV says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God in pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. Prayer brings things to fall into the obedience of God. It causes things to fall under or into, whatever the English is, the obedience of God. Prayer causes things to submit to God, to submit to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. If somebody is acting out, if your kids are acting out, you pray for them. Prayer brings them into submission, into obedience to Christ. It pulls down strongholds. It casts out arguments. Every high thing, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Not even God, oh, his knowledge. Anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of who God is and everything he stands for has to be brought under submission. So prayer is a weapon. It is a weapon. It is a weapon of warfare. It is a weapon. It is something we must know. It is a weapon you must pull out and you must use. In Isaiah 54 verse 17, it says, "No weapon formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned." We say this as a prayer. And we can say this as a prayer because anything that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God has to be brought into submission. So prayer is a weapon. Next point, prayer is the will of God for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without season, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I repeat, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Repete. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is the will of God for you. As long as you are in Christ, as long as you are in Christ Jesus, the will of God for you is to do those three things. Rejoice always, pray without season, and give thanks in all circumstances. Not some circumstances, all circumstances. That is the will of God for you. That is his desire for you to do those things. When they say something is a will, let's Google, you know, so we don't make errors here. What is a will? In legal terms, it is a legal document that sets forth the wishes regarding something. So the wishes of God for us is to pray. My brother just stepped in and he disrupted my flow. But yeah, let's continue. Okay. So prayer is not only just the will of God. Prayer is a form of your livelihood. Prayer is livelihood. In Luke 18 verses 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." This was a revelation that I got listening to a sermon by Apostle Arome, and it stuck with me and I've not forgotten it since then. He says the opposite of prayer or prayerlessness, I rephrase, the opposite of prayer is not prayerlessness, but the opposite of prayer is actually fainting. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says when you're not praying, you are prayerless. No, it says when you're not praying, you're fainting. So the opposite of prayer is actually fainting, not prayerlessness. Are you fainting is the question we should be asking. Not do you have a prayerless life or are you not praying? Are you fainting is the question we should be asking. Because when we start asking, are you fainting? It will help people, you know, jazz up a bit more. Come online a bit more. Right? Are you fainting? That is my question to you guys. Are you fainting? Pray always. Next point, prayer generates power. Prayer generates power. I guess it's just simply put, prayer helps you generate power. If you have an active prayer life, an active prayer altar, there's power on that altar. You cannot be calling on God's name so many times in a day or consistently in a year, and the Spirit of God is not dwelling in you or on that altar. Remember, I said an altar is a medium for transmission. So if God's presence is really with you as you pray, there will be power on that altar. There will be power burning inside of you. There will be power on you. So prayer generates power. Prayer is your aid. It says, "Confess to one another" in James chapter 5 verse 16.
Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, is what it says in the Amplified Version. So, it's even addressing power in this version, but it also addresses the fact that when someone is misstepping, when someone is, you know, going through things, you pray for one another. It says that they may be restored, they may be healed to a spiritual tone, mind, and hearts. When somebody is going through it, you pray for them. Your prayer comes to their aid. Okay? In the KJV version, for people that might not have understood this one, it says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So your power avails. Your prayer avails, not power. Your prayer avails much when you're a righteous man. So you can pray for people. It would come to their aid. Your prayer helps other people out. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 26, it was about Paul and Silas. So, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. This formula in itself is even just... those that get it, get it. This formula, praying and praise... It's something that we cannot sleep on as Christians. But I will continue. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Their prayer, not only did it... See, I'm re-emphasizing my points here now. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Not did it only come to their aid, it came to their aid of them and the other people around them. Their prayer and praise was an advantage to them in the prison. Their prayer and praise was an advantage to them in the prison. When they prayed, there was an earthquake. There was a reaction, even emphasizing my previous point. There is a feedback that comes when you pray. When you pray, expect feedback. There's a feedback that comes when you pray. There's a reaction that comes when you pray. There's confirmation that comes when you pray. I'll move on to my next point. Prayer keeps you close to God. If you're communicating with somebody on a regular basis, you'll be close to them. So prayer keeps you close to God. It keeps you in proximity with God. It allows you to know God. You and God become friends. You're guys. Now you can talk. You can chit-chat for hours without it being an issue. Prayer allows you to be close to God. Prayer strengthens you. It strengthens your inner man. It strengthens your spirit. It strengthens your body. It strengthens your body. When you're sick and you pray over yourself, your body is strengthened. Strengthens your body. It strengthens everything about you. It strengthens man. A man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. It strengthens man. Next point. Prayer with a combination of faith is a means, or let's say a medium for birthing. I spoke about it previously. In Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 18, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Even that according to which was spoken is another sermon in itself. Just the essence and the need for speech, for you to talk, for you to say things. But anyways, going back, prayer in combination with his faith allowed something to be birthed in him. Faith is the substance
of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Why am I tripping over my words? But yeah. So his faith in combination with prayer, in combination with even spoken word, as it is written, that is your key phrase as a Christian. If the enemy comes to meet you, as it is written. Prayer in combination with that birthed what Abraham knew of himself as him being the father of many nations. And then last point, prayer is an indication of submission and surrender. When you have a life, a prayerful life, or just a prayer life, it shows that you are submitted to someone, you are submitted to God, and you're surrendered to God, because you bring your issues, you bring your joys, you bring your laughter, you bring your everything to God, basically. And just a quick tip / trick. How do you cultivate a prayer life? You pray. You pray. You thought I was going to say something else, but you pray. You cultivate a prayer life by praying. Yeah, is actually that simple. I'm so sorry. There's nothing else to add to that. I'm joking. There are a few things to add. But yeah, you cultivate a prayer life by praying. You cultivate what? A prayer life by praying. The more you pray, the more you can keep praying. It says in Revelation 22 verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride says, come. And let him who hears, come. God has told us to pray. If you hear, you should be praying. Pray. Full stop. And let him who hears, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you desire a prayer life, you pray. If you thirst for a prayer life, you pray. If you hunger for a deeper prayer life, you pray. There's no mathematics about it. The ways of God are very straightforward. You need this to get that, you do this. If you need to cultivate a prayer life, you begin to start praying. So, as I speak of that, I will caveat into what this episode is basically going to launch. So, when I found out about this episode in December/November time, and I prepared it, I knew that there was a challenge that was going to come from it. The Holy Spirit ministered that to me. So, we are going to be kickstarting that challenge with this episode. So, there will be a form in on our Instagram, in our bio. Just sign up. Let us know that you're participating in the challenge. But anyways, the challenge is a prayer challenge. Yeah, a prayer challenge. So the process is, if you want to do the beginners section, you would pray for 100 days. Consistently for 100 days and for 1 hour straight. Okay? So for 1 hour for 100 days. If you want to participate in the intermediate aspect of the challenge, you would also do 100 days but for 1 hour and 30 minutes. Right? So essentially, in your day, make sure you have covered 1 hour and 30 minutes of prayer, right? Consistently for 100 days. If you want to do the advanced section of the challenge, you do 100 days and you pray for 2 hours, 30 minutes. So in 24 hours, make sure you have covered 2 hours, 30 minutes in prayer consecutively for 100 days. If you miss a day, it's up to you if you want to start again or just continue. But everybody on whichever degree you're on will do and complete 100 days, right?
And then if you want to do it in a different version and push yourselves. So these are for the guys that want to, you know, I want my prayer life to be better. I want more fire on my altar. I want to learn to pray for more hours. I want to learn how to stay. I want to learn how to wait. All of that good stuff. You will then participate in this version of the challenge, which is day 1 to day 25, you pray for 1 hour. Day 26 to day 50, you pray for an hour, 30 minutes in those days. Day 51 to 75, you pray for 2 hours every day within day 51 to 75. And then from day 76 to day 100, you pray for 2 hours, 30 minutes to 3 hours. So you push yourself, right? So you can cover 3 hours however you wish in that day, okay? You don't have to do 3 hours, but if we're saying we want to push ourselves, let's do that. But it is day 76 is 2 hours, 30 minutes. So everybody, depending on which one you choose, would get to a stage where they should be able to pray for 2 hours, 30 minutes, either consecutively or throughout your day. You would have covered 2 hours, 30 minutes of prayer. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, not me asking you guys questions, like you can actually answer me back. But yes, that is it for today's episode. I really, really hope this was helpful. I want to say thank God to God for this episode topic, for the challenge. And I just pray for everyone who listened, everybody who is contemplating, participating, not sure. I pray that God would move you to participate in whichever form you want to, but just to participate in 100 days of prayer. The basis is 100 days. We're going to go for 100 days. Everybody. However you do it, you do it. But 100 days is it for us. Okay. Yeah, I just pray for everyone that you would help us. You would give us the strength. You give us the grace to do your will, to continue in your will, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to see the things that you have deposited in us, you have given to us for our advantage on this earth. I pray that you would lead us, you would help us, you would keep us, you would guide us. I pray for everyone who is going to participate in this challenge that you would be their shield, their helper. I know that the enemy is going to try it. I know the enemy is going to try it, but we will put him to shame. I pray that you would help them. I pray that everyone that starts this challenge will finish it. Nobody would quit. Nobody will stop. Nobody would give up. I pray that no man will be lost. No man will be left behind. I pray that you would help us. You give us the grace to do this, to do it well, to do it with excellence, to do it right. I pray that we will be built from this process. I pray that you would build us up in this process. We would not be the same as when we started. We will be a new man. We'll be a new person. That people will be able to see and tell that this person has been with God. I just thank you for everything that you're doing with me, through me, in this episode, in this generation, with this people, at this time, in this space. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. I hope you guys have a beautiful rest of your day, your week, whatever it is. I pray that, you just enjoyed the challenge and you have fun with it, okay? See you in the next episode. Bye!